Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I want to run. I want to hide.
Wait, I need you here to do the podcast.
I want to tear down the walls that hold me inside.
You can't do that. This is my house. Okay, guys. It's day two of Deck Party Week.
Deck Party post-run pizza beer, Bud Burge, Kevin Brett, Bill Week.
Yeah.
We're on the deck.
Summertime on the deck, which is actually pretty nice out considering it's DC summer.
Beautiful. Beautiful out here right now.
But I have a problem with this particular episode.
Okay, what is it?
That I don't have a beer.
Ah, so, that is a major
problem. Let's see if we can rectify
that. That is DEFCON 5.
Yeah.
So can you reach over?
Yeah,
hang on here. I'll hold the microphone.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. All right. Patrick is walking across. And oh yeah,
are there two in there by chance?
All right. Hang on. Bill Horn's getting me some grapefruit something. That sounds very refreshing. All right. So what is this? Ballast Point Grapefruit Sculpin. What's a Sculpin?
Fine West Coast brewery.
All right.
Love all their stuff.
Is it kind of fruity? It's not
that fruity. Let me give it a try.
No, it really is
light.
It's very smooth. Yep. Very light. They make some great beers.
All right. I feel better now.
You make a good lawnmower beer. Ballast Point.
Okay. So with that, you're listening to Rock in the Suburbs, and Patrick is taking a swig. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we are going to talk this episode about a band a few people might know.
Yes, they're a fairly popular group.
They go by a letter and a number, U2.
Yeah, U2. And they're on the Joshua Tree tour now.
Yes, and we have with us Brett Motif, who went to the show just the other night.
Wow, yeah.
Yep.
So here is a Saturday night, and I'm still buzzing from it from Tuesday night.
From Tuesday night, wow.
You know, they played here, like mm-hmm. Jim said, they played here on their Joshua Tree 2017 tour, the 30th, Patrick, anniversary of that
Thank
album.
Thank you for making me feel very old.
Is that amazing? And this is an album that I remember coming out. I don't remember Sgt. Pepper 50 years ago.
Yep.
This is when we all had the vinyl, and it was huge, right?
Yep.
But yeah, I went to them Tuesday night, and you know that feel-good feeling you have? It stays around after the show. You keep saying, like, wow, that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You keep telling everybody. I'm mm-hmm. I'm a messenger to everyone now. I'm knocking on doors. Right. I went to U2 last night. I want to tell you about it. I'm not kidding.
I haven't slept in two days.
I'm at work. I'm at the gym. And however I can segue in, oh, speaking of music, I went to U2. I mean, it's just everything I can do to bring it up. So I'm glad I'm here because this is going to be a three-hour episode. We'll cut it down to three shows.
That's right.
But, yeah, I went, and it was, I mean, it's easy to.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, gosh. I mean, they were so amazing. You know, I've seen them four times now. I've seen them two inside arenas. Mm-hmm. I've seen them in two stadiums. And this was at FedEx Field here in the D.C. area. It's a huge stadium.
Right.
And it was packed, and they had general admission.
Yep.
And everything else was seats. And our seats were incredible. I got a little story about how we got those seats in a second. But they, you know, we can get more detail in a second, but they came out and just hit it hard. You know, they came out with five big hits. Then they get into the whole Joshua Tree album. And the mm-hmm. Patrick and Jim, the big thing, and Kevin, the big thing about this is they're playing the Joshua Tree cover to cover in order in the middle of the set.
Right.
It's amazing. I think Bruce did that with a couple tours where he played a different album every time. But how about that? How about getting to play the entire album in the middle of the concert?
And where, Brett, do you put the Joshua Tree in your sort of ranking of U2 albums? Like, is it up there for you near the top, or where does it fall?
I think now it's on top again.
Oh, really?
Interesting. I think it's that good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Octone Baby is really good, too. But I think this album just, you know, there's so much to say about the album, so much to say. I've been thinking about it and listening to it constantly, you know, since I went to the show. And I listened to it weeks before, too. And it just sounded new again. It sounded fresh again. It sounded timeless.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things they sing about, a lot of just the music and the vocals and the lyrics, it applies today.
Yeah.
That's why they decided to do it. They were, you know, back when they're recording an album now, I think it's actually close to being done, and they held off on releasing it. And the 30th anniversary was coming up, and they were saying, what do you guys want to do for it? We're going to put out a whole bunch of vinyl. We're going to do a special edition. We're going to remaster it, remix it. And someone came up with the idea, you know what? Why don't we just tour it again? And they're like, we're going to tour it. And boom, wow. Tickets go on sale. Yeah. They sold out all of North America, and they're just trucking across the country. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. I mean, I don't know if this is going to be a two-hour episode.
Yeah.
They sounded good. They hit it hard. I know, you know, one of our guests here saw them at Bonnaroo. We can hear more about what he mm-hmm. thought about it, too. But and you're, Kevin, you're going to see them coming up, right? That's Am right. I getting you fired up about it?
Yeah, I'm very excited. I half want to, like, cover my ears and go the whole time, but I'm intrigued. I've seen them many, many times, so I don't think, you know, I think I kind of have a good sense of what a U2 show is like.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping this one will kind of exceed it a little bit, given that they're playing an album end-to-end. That's why I'm going, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have you seen the band?
This will be show number 9 for me.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And on Joshua Tree, I managed to see them 3 times in 3 different cities.
Wow.
Chicago.
The original Joshua Tree tour, is that
yes,
what you're
saying? Yes, the original. Yeah. Back in 87, I saw them in Chicago, Atlanta, and Birmingham. And the Birmingham one came out of nowhere. It was just having seen that show in Atlanta, I was like, I got to go.
Yeah,
to Birmingham. We hopped in the car and drove over.
And what kind of venues was that? Was that like arenas or?
It was indoor. Yeah. It was the Omni, which is no longer there in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right.
And, Chicago, it was the Rosemont Horizon.
Oh,
Horizon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
you are going to love it. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you cheated at all and gone on YouTube and seen anything that they're doing?
No. And
oh, okay.
I intention.
Okay, good.
Debate with my wife.
I'm weak. I did.
Okay. Although I tell you, Facebook kind of ruined it for me this week because friends were posting from FedEx this week all their videos, and I couldn't help myself. I had to watch them.
Yeah.
So I do have a better idea of what the stage looks like now. But up until this past week, I was intentionally avoiding all of that.
You're stronger than I am. Now, my wife, just as you, she saw them when she was very young. She's mm-hmm. a little younger than I am, in 87 in Philadelphia.
Okay.
It was kind of great that she got to go back and see them again 30 years ago on the same album. And she and her friends were texting all week because they're all still up in Pennsylvania. My wife is obviously here in D.C. with me. And they were texting, Facebook, 30 years later. They had some photos. Someone was posting ticket stubs from that tour. And during the show, she's posting like 30 years later. It was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So it's an incredible – did I mention, Jim, it's an incredible show?
I actually – my first show for U2 was when I was 15.
For wow.
My 15th birthday, I saw them. And I'm probably the only person here that actually went with a Catholic priest to a U2 concert. He was Irish, too,
Irish
from
Catholic,
Ireland. He was from Ireland.
That's so interesting.
He said he would take me, so my mom let me go to this U2
Seems
show.
Seems safe.
Yeah. So you don't know the set list, so I won't go into it.
I do.
All right, can I tell you what they come out and hit really hard? Jim,
hit
can I, do I have a
go
second
ahead.
To tell you
yes.
that? So they come out and they hit 5 songs hard. Then they play the Joshua Tree album in its entirety. You saw that, too. Right, and then they come out and hit you again.
Mm-hmm.
Two or three songs in, let me tell you. Here they come out. They come out with Sunday Bloody Sunday. Right, the drums go, the guitar comes. You're like going out of your mind. Right, if they played that song and I drove back home for an hour and a half, I'd be like, that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
Sunday Bloody Sunday, then New Year's Day.
Mm. Yep.
Then they play Bad. Then Pride in the Name of Love. So that's 4 songs. They just hit you hard right away.
Yep.
I turned to my wife during, I think, the 3rd or 4th song where they said, turn out the house lights. And everyone had their phones lit up, right? It lit up like a starry night. I'm like, this seems like an encore. And my wife's like, it does. And we got an hour and a half to go.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
It was great. And
it's interesting you said Bad was in there because that's the one song that they don't. You know, they do play that a lot live. They, I guess, because of the success they had with it at Live Aid.
Right.
But, it's a great live song.
It is.
And it's one of my favorite U2 songs, actually. So I love to hear it. And actually, every show I've been to, they have actually played it.
Sure.
And I think that's... So we'll see if I actually get it.
Right.
You'll get it. And all of those songs there are really... They encourage the crowd to sing along. You know, a lot of people are singing, you know, during those songs. And then they go up and play the whole Joshua Tree. Then they're going to come out, they're going to hit you again after that.
Yep.
And you feel like, wow, this was worth it.
Bill, you got anything on this? You just saw him at Bonnaroo.
It was an unbelievable concert for me too, because I haven't seen them since Zooropa, Zoo TV tour.
Really?
Was Yankee it a full Stadium. Show? I mean, full. What's
was
that?
It the same?
No, it was. They said they had to kind of slightly shrink it. But it didn't seem shrunk to me. I mean, it was their big stage there. It's called the Witch Stage, I think. And it has like they had three giant screens, you know, with the buffalo. I mean, it was pretty stupendous. I mean, there were moments I thought they kind of called it in. I'll be perfectly honest. I can't like go full out and say like it was just, but by the time they got to the encore, it was all back and amazing. You know, it was like vertigo, elevation. I mean, it just blew my mind, you know? So, I probably shouldn't have mentioned that, but anyway, the cat's out of the bag.
I think I'll be okay.
Yeah, no, I'm jealous that you're seeing the full show, because it's, they're unsurpassed in my mind.
I think the only thing I look for in U2 shows is those one or two odd songs that they're going to play that you've never heard before. And they always manage to do it, and you appreciate them. But, you know, I guess because they're playing everything off of Joshua Tree and playing songs that they rarely play or have never played before during that they aren't really picking anything else from any of their catalog.
Right.
Like,
it's already
anything from Boy. I think I saw on the set list that they've only played I Will Follow and, you know, maybe six of the shows they've done on this tour. So, which I think is a coup for U2. You know, they've been doing that since day one.
Ladies and gentlemen!
All right. Now, let me mention this, too.
Yes.
Kevin Goff here, he brought for me, for my jukebox,
for the jukebox,
a sort of U2-ish kind of band, right, from the 80s. It's The Alarm.
I wouldn't know about The Alarm.
The Alarm.
I don't know about U2.
Yeah,
that's right. The Stand.
Certainly owe a little debt to
Is that your favorite Alarm song?
I think I would say so, yeah. Yes. It's a great song.
So this is going in the jukebox.
Yeah, without a doubt. A little Stephen King action going on there, and just
I don't
a fantastic.
Think that's what it's about.
Yeah, right? Trash can, where you going, boy? It's definitely right up there with
but
the novel.
It's funny because they were around at sort of the same time and had sort of a similar.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, definitely slightly indebted to you, too.
Yes.
Bono. They were their doppelgangers, I think. Didn't quite get there.
Okay. Not quite. Quite have the vision. Yeah.
So, Patrick, you and I did not go to see
U2. No, we did not.
But have you seen them before?
I have, yeah. I actually saw them on the Unforgettable Fire Tour a couple times.
Okay.
And that was quite amazing. I remember I saw them at the Hampton Coliseum and also at the Capitol Center. Rest in power, Capitol Center. But I will tell you this. I'll be honest with everybody. Her name was Anne, and she was a friend of mine a long time ago. And we spent a lot of time together during a very short period of time, you know. And the Joshua Tree was the soundtrack to that fleeting romance that maybe lasted 3 weeks. I don't know. It's one of those ones that leaves you kind of stung, man. You're just reeling, you know. Like, you next thing, you know, everything's going great. The next thing you know, you're down on the canvas and you're, you know, you're crying and you can't get up.
With or without you.
So that record to me has it's a real melancholy kind of a U2 album because of that experience. Because that was our album, man. You know, we played that a lot together, and I thought things were going great, but apparently not.
Any chance she listens to the podcast?
Oh, God, I hope so. If you're out there, Ann, yeah.
She must be thinking of you when she listens to that album, too.
I hope so, yeah. Here's a mistake I never want to make again. I think that's probably what it is. For her, it's like, here's where my life took a turn for the better.
Yeah, No, Brett, she can't listen to it.
No, it's too painful.
Too painful. Too painful. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I doubt it. But it's funny. It is tinged with a little melancholy for me, that album.
You did tap into something here about the Joshua Tree in particular, although I think you two in general, Joshua Tree in particular, the girls really liked that record.
It's amazing. Yes. I mean, it really was a very popular album with some very attractive girls who I don't know why they stopped answering the phone.
No, but they did. I remember
they
that.
They did.
I remember that as well back in that day.
Yeah.
I also remember the day that Joshua Tree came out because I was in, that was when albums came out on Tuesdays.
That's right.
And I was in psychology class at Indiana. And a friend of mine comes into the classes. We're sort of all, you know, getting settled in the big lecture hall. And he was like, I just got the new U2 album and listened to it on the way over because it was like cassette on Walkman, right? Yeah. Listen to it on the way over and it's amazing. You got to get it.
Yeah.
And I was like, class over, I walk right to the record store, nice. Right to Wooden Nickel Records, and
beautiful.
Bought the cassette for my Walkman as
beautiful.
Well.
I so, kept yes. $7 under my clock radio from the time the Joshua Tree was announced until it was released that day so that I would make
really?
Sure I had the
That's
money
beautiful.
To go to Turtles Records and Tapes and get it in Atlanta after school.
Do you guys still have those copies that you bought then?
Not cassettes, no.
You had vinyl?
I have vinyl,
the original
yeah.
vinyl?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
No, I have a CD copy now.
But the first time I listened to the Joshua Tree, I was had to mow the lawn. I kid you not.
Really?
My first listen to that album end to end was mowing the lawn.
Wow.
I want to tell a real quick story because there's a little bit of drama behind our seats, okay?
All right.
It started bad.
Mm-hmm.
It ended great. So first of all, I bought them back on January 16th. I was in the pre-sale in the second day, and I'm sitting at the desk at home. I'm not even going to work later because I have the internet. Make sure the internet's on.
That's right.
Make sure my Ticketmaster account
open.
Is turned on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, two browsers. And I know it's it's 10 a.m. on January 16th.
This is the modern
my wife
day
calls
process.
Me at 9:30. Yeah. Are you ready? And I'm like, I am. And
yes,
I'm
ma'am.
Like, you all you've all been there. You know when you want a big ticket,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And the tickets go fast, right?
Oh,
you can
yeah.
buy them secondhand, but it's going to cost you, right?
Which is why they go fast.
So yeah. I'm in the pre-sale of the second day of the U2 sale.
Yep.
So I'm click, refresh. You're live, and the tickets start spinning. Oh my God! Here we go. And you can see them go, blah, 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 blah. You can just see them going away, right? So the first pair I got were mega expensive, like dream seats. I'm like, I can't afford dream seats.
Right.
I'm going to roll the dice here.
Try again.
And I'm going to refresh.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to get killed for it.
Yeah.
Then, so that was right next to the stage on the side, looking right at it. Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So then I refreshed and I get scooted around to the end. So U2 is in the football stadium. They're in one end zone. And I was in the opposite end zone, but the stage goes from the end zone to like the 40-yard line. I'm looking straight at the stage. I'm like, purchase, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I got those for about $100 each, right? Good deal.
Yep.
Six months of looking forward to the show. We get out there. We get to our seats. The sound booth is blocking most of the stage.
Oh, no.
Because in a football stadium, they set this big two-story control booth up to run these big shows outside.
Right.
You probably saw a big one at Bonnaroo or anyone who's been to a stadium show.
Yeah, yeah.
And my wife sits down, looks at me and says, really, Mr. U2? So I'm like, I hear this voice in my head say, no.
Right.
No. I said, I'm going to customer service.
Right.
And I had read... U2, FedEx Field, and Ticketmaster had been just blurting out or sending out all these emails for the month before about parking. Here's how you get your ticket.
Yeah,
if you don't have a ticket, you swipe your credit card. It's all these rules. Okay, let's have a good time. And one of the emails I paid attention, I read it, and it talked about if there's a problem with your seat or your ticket, this is where you go.
Okay.
And I heard that little voice in my mind reading that. I said, Susan, that's my wife's name. Susan.
Yeah.
Stay right here. The show's going to start in 15 minutes. Where are you going? I'm going to customer service.
Right.
Now I'm running through. You know what it's like trying to move through under a stadium for a show?
Yeah.
It's chaos.
Yeah.
There's beer lines. There's beer. I finally get to customer service, and I'm like, I'm blocked by the sound booth. Give me your ticket stubs. People have been complaining all night. I will reseat you.
Yep.
Where are you going to reseat me? And she points behind me, right down there.
Wow.
I'm like, call my wife on the phone. Get down here right now. Long story short, she runs around the corner, hands us section 102.
Wow.
14 rows off the floor. Wow. 5 minutes to spare. Lights drop. We had the best seats in the house.
That's fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Awesome. Good for you.
Had a great time.
Good for you.
Unbelievable. I mean, I was nervous. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so we ended up having some of the best seats in the house that I couldn't afford.
That's incredible.
I guess the house hangs on to certain seats. I guess they I don't know.
That, yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I don't often say complimentary things about Ticketmaster, but that you got to say kudos to them for taking care of you. Yeah,
some of the best seats in the house.
Yeah,
and like I said, had a great show, and you're gonna love it. I'm jealous. I'm not seeing them again right now.
And you know what to do, Kevin. If you get there,
you go to customer service.
Go to customer service, or maybe go anyway and just say there's a problem.
I'm gonna use that.
Correct. It was a wonderful time, and
that's beautiful.
It's great to talk about it. I'm still buzzing.
Yeah. Fantastic.
That's an amazing story. I never would have thought that. Never.
It had to happen. That's great. I had to make
amazing.
It happen.
Yeah.
And you didn't miss any of it. That's
really cool.
When I was standing there to get my pair of tickets, and my wife's car on the corner, she said, I'm going to get you to someone else. You know, hurry up. I'm calling her. Hurry up. Get around here. You know, so we get the tickets, and we sat down, and I asked when we went at the counter. I said, when are they supposed to come on? It's like 8:40 now. She said, they said they're going to come on between 8:45 and 9. We end up having to, like, they came out about 8:55.
They probably called Bono and said,
yeah,
hold on.
Superfan Brett is
getting
reseated.
Then we can start.
So, but, you know, you don't know. You're nervous. You want to, I can take a break during a song here and there to, you know, go out and grab a beer or whatever, but I can't miss the intro of a concert when they come out, right? You don't want to do that. You feel like you didn't get to see it at all. So, yeah, we actually had 10 minutes to spare, and we sat down and. The rest is history. So I'm jealous that you're seeing them that I already did, but you're going to have a great time. You're going to love it.
I'll send you pictures.
All right. Please do.
Yeah.
Cool. That's good stories.
Very
huh?
good stuff.
Yes. All right. So please listen to conversation like this.
Every day.
Every day on Rock in the Suburbs. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher, or TuneIn. You can also visit our website, suburbspod.com. And you can... find us on social media at Suburbs Pod, mm-hmm. and you can email us rock@suburbspod.com or call the line. You guys want to hear it again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party line.
And that number is
612-440-1984. Please call. You guys are all going to call after hearing that, right?
I'm called tomorrow morning.
All right. Okay, and I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
Thank you, Kevin Goff. Thank you, Brett Motif. Thank you, Bill
Kevin
Horn.
Bill.
Is there a particular U2 song? You know, Kevin, you're our super fan here.
Let Kevin
times,
pick.
Right?
I've talked enough. Kevin, you pick.
Why don't you pick a song we should play out with?
Two Hearts Beat as One.
Oh.
Wonderful song.
Okay.
That's a running song, right?
Sure. That's fine.
It
more
hurt.
Tears.
You had to pick one that had hearts in it, right?
Had to be that one.
All right. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
A bit different than back in the Yucktown Baby when he was ordering pizzas for the whole crowd.
Yeah.
Calling George Bush at the White House,
right.
If you remember.